the Lord's prayers to Lord Srinidhi. Besides Krishna's name. So maybe tomorrow's Friday, right? Tomorrow evening, that's what where we'll begin, is reviewing what we covered. So you have your notes, there's a book, there's a brain. Put those three things together and see what you can come up with. We'll begin tomorrow evening. We'll just try to do like an overview of this chapter as far as we've gone. That'd be nice, right? Just to refresh our memories a little bit, there was where we ended up. Prahlad was beginning to describe a little bit the process of creation. Remember, he's addressing the personality of Godhead, and he's in full knowledge that the personality of Godhead is the actual creator. Standing in the assembly is also Lord Brahma, who is part of, gets credit for part of the creation, but all the preliminary creation is already done by the Supreme Lord, and he's addressing him. And in what's coming up is he also addresses what it is that Lord Brahma does, and what is the part that Lord Vishnu does. But so the overall thing is he's describing a relationship. He's giving glories of the Supreme Lord, but he's in the part of those glories of the Supreme Lord is to understand the relationship that all things that are perceivable and even things that are very, very subtle, but still part of the material creation, not so easily perceivable, but still part of the material creation. How they're but transformations of the energy of the Supreme Lord. And in this presentation, he doesn't use this terminology. Actually, the term achintya beta beta tattva. You've heard that term before? Anyone not familiar with what that term is? A couple of people. Okay. More than a couple. Achintya Beta Beta Tattva. This is a teaching that what Lord Chaitanya taught is the relationship between all things and their source of emanation. The relationship is a relationship of inconceivable, simultaneous oneness and difference. Achintya Beta Abeda. Tattva means teaching or doctrine. We would say ism. Like humanitarianism or Catholicism or Hinduism or something like that. They're teaching. A core, comprehensive teaching. So, there are some teachings that emphasize the absolute oneness of all things with the Supreme. That's a familiar one. There's some teachings that emphasize the difference between all things and the Supreme, which is also true. That's what Madhvacharya taught. You've seen pictures of Madhvacharya holding up two fingers of one hand and with the other holding on to his danda. Dvaitavad, or Veda, the distinction between all things and their source of emanation. And there is a distinction between things and where they emanate from. But Lord Chaitanya gave the teaching of there's a simultaneous oneness and difference between all things and the Supreme.
And rescued the earth planet and carried the earth on my tusks. And by contact with my tusks, Bhumi gave birth to one son. Did you know that? One son was born. And of that combination, that wasn't the normal kind of conception, but just by contact with Varaha and Bhumi, a son was born whose name was Naraka. And he was very, very, the son of the Supreme Lord, Naraka. Great personality. Who lived for a very, very long time, because this was in Satyayuga, the earth getting cast into the lower reaches during the time of Hiranyaksha. By his activities, the earth fell out of orbit. But as time passed, Naraka fell into bad association. Naraka fell into the association of Vana, Vanasura. And through bad association, he became also bad. And therefore he became known as Narakasura. So Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya said, even my own son, if he puts my devotee into difficulty, I will admonish him. Because I'll always give protection to my devotee. So Narakasura was killed by Lord Krishna. Although by this disclosure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually the son of Lord Krishna, of Varahadeva. So the Supreme Lord will always give protection to this devotee. Just as Lord Srinadeva has come in this particular Leela. So this act of creation that Prahlad's prayers are disclosing, the Lord is the subtle cause, just as just a review. The Lord is the subtle cause, the whole manifestation of the ingredients and the personalities who help the process of creation along. They're all empowered by the Supreme Lord. But he'll come himself, even after the creation is established, to maintain spiritual principle. Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita. Pritranaya sadhunam vinashaya shaduskritam. He comes personally to take care of these refinements. And that's what Prahlad is acknowledging in these prayers. You've come. You're a transcendental Lord from Vaikuntha directly. You've come here just to give your merciful association. You could have arranged some other way to annihilate Hiranyakashipu, but just to show that you personally do these things, you've come. And you're given your protection. So all the devotees here are very, very, they're feeling very protected. They're feeling very safe. And now you're giving your direct audience, just like Lord Brahma had the direct audience of Lord Vishnu after his austerities. You're showing us your transcendental nature, and in his prayers he's acknowledging that. So that ends, because our time is 7:15 here. That's as far as we're going to get this evening. So I'll remind you again tomorrow. I'll see if you can do a little review of your notes and read your memories and discuss with one another and see if we can piece together what the previous part of this chapter, very extended chapter. described. Now, are there any questions from what we went over this evening? We can't really say that the earth has that particular property without the presence of a particular type of tree.
Yeah.
And extraction is not possible.
That's right. But the potency is there in a subtle form. Otherwise, where is it coming from? I'm giving a logical response, but that's the indication that we receive from Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's the nature of mystic potency. Mystic potency is nothing other than, say for a mystic yogi, he knows the art of how to do something that an ordinary person can't do. So, the seed of a lemon tree knows how to do it. Doesn't go to school or do, you know, yoga practice. But that mystic power is there. So, Prapti Siddhi, Lagima Siddhi, all the siddhis, they're potentially something that any one of us can also do. But one needs to develop that siddhi, the mystic power. And then, that which is not ordinary, but is doable, can be done. So Prabhupada explained all living entities, and he gives examples. All living entities have some degree of mystic power. But even mystic power is not taking something from nothing. Extend one's hand and manifest some gold, or extend one's hand and manifest a pomegranate. That's Prabhupada's example. You know, I'll tell a little Prabhupada story. Prabhupada told the story of when he was a young boy. His father was very religious and lived in Calcutta, and regularly he would invite a sadhu to his home every day. Practically a different sadhu would come to their home, sometimes two or three. So one time, one of the sadhus that came was a mystic yogi. Prabhupada describes he was sitting on the couch in the living room, and he requested someone in the room, seated there, you just mention one thing that you would like, and I will produce it for you. So someone said, I hear they have very wonderful pomegranates in Afghanistan. And so the yogi extended his hand, and presto, there was a pomegranate from Afghanistan. And Prabhupada described the stem was still moist, like there was some dripping dew or whatever you call that stuff, from the stem from which the pomegranate was growing, upon which it was growing. So it wasn't like, you know, he had somebody waiting in the back room to go to the marketplace and there's the yogic powers by which one can obtain something that's at a distant place in ways that we don't know how to do it. So we don't know how the seed of the lemon tree produces the lemon tree itself, which takes the transforming whatever is there in the earth to produce all the citric acid. How does the cow produce milk from eating grass? In one end goes the grass, and out the other end goes
milk. Analyze the ingredients in milk as you find it in the grass. How's it happen? I don't claim to know the. I can read what it says. I'll read it again. Examples given in this is text 35. An example is given in this regard. An example given in this regard is that of the aroma within the earth. In the earth there are aromas and colors, but one cannot see them or smell them. Actually, we find that when flowers grow from the earth, they appear with different colors and aromas, which they have certainly gathered from the earth, although in the earth we cannot see them. Twice, we cannot see them. So we can dig up the earth, and where's the citric acid? Analyze the grass, and where's the vitamins and minerals found in milk? Where's the aroma that's in the earth? Where's the color and fragrance? So there's some subtle process going on.
You said that the Lord says that God punishes his son who is giving trouble to
his people. Yeah.
How does this apply to this happen because of disobedience?
In this, yes and no, in this particular case, Naraka was an asura. He became an asura. He wasn't just, kind of became fallen. He became total asura. Total demoniac personality. And because he was the son of the Supreme Lord, he was unstoppable. The Lord himself stopped him. My spiritual focus. So, we have examples where, in Vedic scripture, where let's say this, just taking the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where someone became deviant. One of the disciples of Lord Chaitanya became deviant. So he would punish them sometimes by neglecting them. He should never come in my presence ever again. I never want to see his face. Kamalakanta Vishwas. And other examples. Chota Haridas, sannyasi, deviated slightly, but or even apparently from the sannyas. So, different ways. But even in that case, is for protection. And to teach an example, in the case of Chota Haridas, actually later, Lord Chaitanya was found, or it was understood by his intimate devotees, that Chota Haridas would later be singing very wonderful songs, and Lord Chaitanya would be giving audience. But it was to teach an example, to teach a lesson. Show by example. Okay, anything else? Okay, it's a quiet evening. Yes?
Gautama, you realize that oneness of the
Yes. Yeah, descending process, exactly. The Lord imparted that knowledge within his heart. In Brahma's case, he didn't, there was no spiritual preceptor to go to, because there was nobody to go to. There was nobody. It was just him and Vishnu. So he followed the instruction that he heard, that was to engage in the particular austerities that he was instructed to do. So he did that. And that knowledge became awakened within him. And not just theoretical knowledge, but he was able to perceive factually. Okay. Therefore, he's the head of a sampradaya. He received that knowledge directly from the Supreme Lord. And following him, Narada, following him, Vyas, and following him, other members of the disciple succession. Yes.
Lord Chaitanya appeared, the recent appearances of Lord Chaitanya
was
500 years ago. But we just see, in masses, the name of Krishna and Rama is known to people.
That's right.
But at the government level, holidays and other things, Lord Chaitanya's appearance day is not celebrated to that extent.
Yeah. Well, he concealed his identity.
But now we know it.
Some people know. More and more people are knowing. I was just in Mayapur, and we had one part of our GBC meeting. You know, GBC means Governing Body Commission. You know what that is? ISKCON, the structure for the organization of ISKCON is that there are 30-something, 32 or 33 governing body commissioner representatives, and they have responsibility to see to the standards of our society all over the world. So one of the reasons that you see me this time every year is because I have to go to that meeting. So one of the things that we discussed at the meeting, it was just one morning session, there was a presentation on Mayapur Mandir, the development of, because it's described by Lord Nityananda in his taking Jiva Goswami throughout the whole of Mayapur. And one day, a gigantic, wonderful temple, Adbhuta Mandir is the terminology, will appear. And it's confirmed that Ananta Samhita, but he stated it. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he visualized it. He actually had a vision. They saw it. And Prabhupada told us to build it. So, the devotees have spent 10 years and gobs of money dealing with architects and, you know, soil and, you know, the whole impact on the environment that would be made by building the tallest and the broadest structure anywhere in the subcontinent of India on a river delta that just this past year was underwater by 10, 12 feet. On that same place, we're supposed to build this temple. So, Bhaktivinoda had that vision. He had many other visions. I mean, in that case, it was a literal vision, but he was a visionary personality who said things like, one day will come to pass that here on the streets of Navadvipa, persons from Europe and persons from America and persons from the continent of Asia will come together and chant ensemble, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. That was at a time when nobody heard anything about Lord Chaitanya. But guess what? It happened. Why did it happen? He uttered it. And there's great potency in the utterances of a spiritual personality. So by his uttering that, he told his son,
Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that you should annually conduct Navadvipa Parikram. And by this, the whole world will be benefited. The whole world will resound with spiritual purification by your conducting Navadvipa Parikram. Whoever heard of Navadvipa and Lord Chaitanya? But sure enough, by his doing that, and then instructing his disciple, Bhaktivedanta Swami, go to the West and give this message. Yes, sir. I'm going to the West to give this message. Right away, sir. And he did. And those same persons in Europe, America, and Australia, and Russia, come together every year. Jai Sachinanda, Jai Sachinanda. This year I saw about 20 people from mainland China. I mean, that's a miracle. It's we're being recorded, and it's not supposed to be a big, it's supposed to be very, because they're risking their lives, the devotees that go there. But, it's kind of a secret. But it's happening. I can't say too much about the extent to which it's happening, but it's happening. And they're getting visas to come to India, and Jai Sachinanda, and Jai Sachinanda. So it's happening. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that in every town and every village, his name would be heard and chanted. Krishna's name would be heard and chanted, and his name will be heard and chanted. It's happening. Yeah, there you go. About 4,000 people last night, they chanted Lord Chaitanya's name. Somewhere, or I wouldn't even know how to get there again. So we go. And they came to honor Lord Shiva. They were chanting Jai Sachinanda. Panchatattva Mantra. Now they probably didn't know who Lord Chaitanya was by although they were chanting with us, we got them standing on their feet, dancing and chanting. We gave some explanation, and probably with a translator, probably didn't understand so much. But slowly, that is how it begins with hearing. And the through media, just like I didn't see it, but I was told the television broadcast of Kumbh Mela, how many millions of people saw that on television? And one of the big features on television was Bhakti Swarup Damodar brought 100 drummers from Manipur who are super showmen. I was told they do things like they take their drum and they jump up in the air and they do a complete somersault, and they land with the drum on the ground. Then they beat part of the drum with just like, with one hand on the drum up in the air, their feet up in the air, and their hand holding on the drum and pounding the drum. I mean, they're a showman. Kumbh Mela, 100 of them, doing their orchestrated thing. It was on television. They're followers of Lord Chaitanya. They come to hear about Lord Chaitanya. Someone just forwarded me today an article that was on the front page of the New York Times 2 days ago. The concern is the President of the United States, the new President, wants to do the thing with government money going to religious organizations to do social work. He said, what I'm interested in is what works, not whether they're this religion, that religion. We're not discriminating in favor of one or against another religion. We want to see good work done. So 2/3 of the article was about the Hare Krishna Food for Life program in Philadelphia. because some prisoner that had been in jail, I don't know what for 8 years, he's on parole. You know what that means, right? Parole, he's not yet within society. So he's in this halfway house that's called the Hare Krishna Food for Life place. And he likes it a lot, except it's only vegetarian food. And it's coming from government money. That, you know, accepting money from the government and have all their rigmarole rules and reporting and all that stuff. But we have devotees from the temple, the Philadelphia temple, go there and they cook for several hundred people, offer to Krishna, and serve out prasadam every day. The government pays for it. And it's, you know, in America it's a big issue. Should the government, should taxpayers' money give money to a religious organization to do good work? Separation of church and state is the issue. Front page of New York Times. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So in various ways, people are getting to hear the holy name. This isn't new. This devotee's been doing this for 15 years. But because the President of the United States is now making it a policy, that it's newsworthy, and so it gets publicity. The Prime Minister of India was just, this is just another newsworthy thing, was just in Coimbatore to open some big government project that finally got completed. And right next door to that big government project is the Hare Krishna Temple. So the Prime Minister took 45 minutes out of his busy day and inaugurated our temple and performed arti for Srila Prabhupada and took charanamrita and darshan of the deities, offered his poets pictures of full prostrated obeisances before Prabhupada, sat with the devotees, took some prasad, saw a whole exhibition of what work they're doing, education work and food for life work and other types of things. He's very, very appreciative. He said, this is terrific. This is wonderful. Please continue this. So, he's getting around. Slowly. People are a little hard-boiled in their materialistic ways, but slowly it's getting around. Anything else? I think we should end this video. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.